Okay. So, thank you everybody for the feedback from last time. I appreciate it.
What?
And it was and just to review it, it can get confusing. So I was actually thinking on the way here a good way to sort of a little bit of a hack to be able to get on the right track with it. So first, the idea is that we're first step is, you know, someone, let's talk about a tough interaction with a child or with a spouse or whatever. The first thing to do is to really listen. And that's like very much overseen, like just to listen before we try and stop them. Before we say, okay. Really just to listen. That's the first point of mirroring. And the idea of listening is not just like, but it's to really show them that you're listening, because that's really 40% of it. When you show someone you're listening and they're saying something and then your eyes get big when they're supposed to and you go, what? Really? And then, right? That brings down so much of it. Kama, 40 to 50% of it, because you're already calming their system. And the way you're calming their system is really by, it's a co-regulation, but it's really a theory. It's a famous theory. It's a polyvagal theory. That means you're really connecting with the other person in a very profound way. And when a human being is connected, their system calms down. That's just the way it is. So much of trauma, so much of real hard emotions is the aloneness of it. Not even so much of the fact that it happened. Obviously it happened, but that no one believes that. Or that something... Is that? Is that him?
No.
Oh, okay. is the aloneness of it. And when you give someone the experience that you can feel what's going on for them, that's what's really truly healing. So it's not so much about the words you're saying. Like, we talked a lot about the words. It's not even so much the words. The words are a way, another mode to be able to have the child or the person chap that you feel them. So much of it is how you're listening and how you're interacting with them. Very passionate example. A good example would be someone that, you know, let's say you have a order that's coming, a fridge that's coming, and it didn't come, and it was supposed to come 30 days ago, didn't come. Finally, you keep on calling, finally you get through to somebody, and says hello, and you say, hi, my fuming, my fridge didn't come, it's almost Yontif, where's my fridge? And the person goes, oh, I hear you, you sound really frustrated, that is frustrating. And you're like, you're getting even more frustrated then, but you can't, it's like, oh wow, that sounds very frustrating, okay, let me call. Yeah, so it does seem like your order, and they're saying all the right words, but it's not really getting you. That's one way. But think of another way. You're on the phone and you're fuming, and then you tell this customer service person, I was waiting for my fridge for 30 days. I held back from calling you. I thought it was going to come. Now I'm making a simcha, or now whatever, I'm making a wedding. And the customer service goes, are you serious? Are you serious? You were just waiting for 30 days and you didn't get it? Our company, right? How's that? What does that do? That's like, wow, someone on the other line actually gets me, is aligned with me. It's not saying that they'll fix it, not saying that you'll get your fridge in 2 minutes, but they actually understand me, just from their own reaction. They're meeting how I'm saying it, and they're hearing me. That's like a good example of how most people say, like, the customer service response, which can frustrate people. They might not lash out, but it's like something so frustrating. But if you feel like someone really gets you and really hears you out, even if it's at the intensity of that you're showing, that means like they're like, what? It sounds funny from the person that's not experiencing it, but for the person that's experiencing it, it's extremely calming. So we'll work on that with, let's say, a strong energy or a response or a tantrum like that. A little bit of a hack, like I was saying, is a great way to mirror is if you can imagine your interaction with that person, father, with a spouse, a child, or anything, and someone's next to you that can't hear that person, can't really read what's going on with that person. The only thing they can hear and read is you. Like, almost like the mic's off for him, but for you, the mic's on, and that person wants to chop what's going on. So what would you say? If the person comes and says, I can't believe it, I almost crashed, and this happened, and then the reaction is, wow, that's so frustrating, or, oh, I hear, is everyone safe? Like, are you okay? Okay. Right, so how fast were you driving? Right, like all the details, cognitive stuff, the guy listening to you just hears that, he doesn't chop. That person that only hears from your mic doesn't chop. But let's say it would be something like this. What, you just got into an accident? What? You were driving down the street, that guy just cut right into you. Like using the same word, literally repeating the words that the other person is saying in the same way, now that guy that only hears you, who only has an earpiece from you, chops. That's like a very, in this interaction, that's a good hack to think. And it might feel weird to do, but know that you're doing something very significant with the other person. It's called empathy. It's called, it's the hardest thing to do. It's putting yourself into someone else's shoes. It's goes into the gedder of ahavta l'reicha kamoicha, I think that's what it is. And also, it's really setting up. And when you do this with our children at the youngest age, you're really setting up their system, their nervous system, their brain, to be wired for connection. And when a brain is wired for connection, they can have more connection to Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Emunah, to Betachin, because that's what it's about. It's about this ability to be davak, ability to feel. So the way you do that is that when you connect to somebody, those pathways are now created in the child's brain or the person's brain, like, this feels very good. This is what connection is like. And they bring it over to other people, and they also have a map for it. It's almost like you're creating the highways for their thought process to go through. So when we sing to our kids, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is, right? They have to feel it. And when's the first time they feel something that's not in front of them or that they don't see or anything? It's through these type of interactions where they get this feeling that someone's with them, even though I wasn't with you. That means there's some sort of like disconnect, but at the same time I'm feeling connected to you. And that's really the base, I believe, to be able to be davak, like the Meshech Chachma says, that's really the side of Emunah Betachin, is the Vikas. Because he's lashon is yitzar adam shu davak l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he's your father, and he's gonna take care of you, and that's why when you davak to him, he's gonna be Mashiach. I really believe that this is the setup and the like base and map to be able to give our kids that ability to connect. The Gemara says, when they came to Hillel and Shammai, the guy said, give me Torah al regal acha. So Shammai said no. And Bisil said, so Madasani Lach, Lachavrach Leisavid. Which is like, okay, very interesting. Like, it sounds like Vahafta L'Reicha Kamoicha, but we use the Lashon Shlili, which the Marsha handles over there. And but the Medrash Magid says something profound, and I think it's really, it gives somebody the drive, if what I'm saying is true, to try this with their children and their relationships, because it's the base of Kol Torah Kula. He takes the comma, the Sani Lach, Lachavrach Leisavid, he takes the comma and he switches it. So is that, what's the Kol Gadol Torah? If you want to know it, I'll regal achas. Ma the Sani Lach Ulechiburach Leisavid. Anything that you're going to do that's going to impact you and your chibur to Hashem and your connection to Hashem, leisavid. That's the Kol Gadol Torah. Torah has to be that I'm using all these things. It's not just to learn. It's not just to daven, get through shachars, get through mincha, get through ma'ariv. It's not just saying a shir. It's not coming just to learn so we can go learn and say that I learned and then left and then leave. What it really is that we're trying to be mechaber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. and create that connection. All these mitzvahs are ways to connect to Hashem, the brachas, to Mimayel Gashmias. Everything is, all the mitzvahs are trying to bring us closer. So anything, so if you really want to know what the whole Torah is based on, and to be Mekayim Torah, Al Regel Achas, it's think of you and your Chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what's sunny to that, don't do. And then, Memela, you have a Chishuk to learn, and Memela, you have at least an outlook to remove yourself from things that the Torah said not to do. So you don't have to go through every single product of to teach Torah. As long as you have this, it's going to come to you. And how do you get this chiburach? How do you have this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So obviously it's through learning and experiencing connection, but this is how you can help the Doris to be able to connect by setting this up. Good? Clear?
How does it learn the Gemara again?
So normally you learn Madasani Lach V'chavrach Leisavid, meaning don't do something that you wouldn't want to be done to yourself, something like that. But he switches it. He says, he changes around the whole thing. He moves the comma, but then it changes around the whole thing. He says, Madisani lach ulechiburach, not lechavrach. He reads it chiburach. Chiburach means connection, the chibur. So he says, Madisani, anything that's hateful or doesn't shtim with you and your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then leisavid. And so that's zekal gadol b'teira. That's mamash al regal achas. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know. That's like the base of it. Once you have that in place and you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything comes, because then you have a cheshek to learn the rest of the Torah, and then you have a cheshek. So that's what why this person was able to hear these words from Beis Hillel, and that was his quick session, you know. Okay, so now I know we were talking about a demo. I brought my son. No, I'm joking. We can do a demo. I want. I think it's impactful for the person when they have it. And I'm not amazing at it. Everyone does it in their own way, and everyone should take it. It's not, again, like I said last time, it's not a technique. Rather, it's really empathy. It's feeling for the other person, and it's not trying to manipulate the matziv. No, it's really connecting to what the other person is saying, and then maybe throwing in your piece. And then maybe, like I said, it's like hanging. Put it aside, you go with the swerve a little bit, and then you. So, Rabbi Weinstein was nice enough to say, anyone else that wants to, it's not a big deal. It's the pressure's on me, not on you. So, I would take to this type of demo is coming at me like upset at me for something. Sometimes it's that I wasted your time here, and you could have been other places and you didn't want to do something, or it could be that I said something that you didn't like, anything. And then I'm going to respond in a typical response. And then we'll stop, and then we'll redo the whole interaction in this type of interaction. And maybe everyone could feel how it feels to you. And once you feel that, you can say like, okay, maybe that feels. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But let's see.
You're part of this girl or not. You're here, you're learning for Seder. You have all this good schayr to give off. Why don't you come off and just make a course for the
chayr? So I hear what you're saying. I'm pretty busy. There's a lot of things going on in my life. I don't know if you know that, but there's a lot of things going on in my life, and for me to come here, like really, be'etzem, like I charge for it. So for me to come here and like and do this, really, I'm giving up of my time. I'm giving off of what I really could be getting. And so, like, I don't know, I really think that there should be much more of, like, an appreciation to the fact that I'm even coming just now. Right? Okay, so how does that feel for you? Tell me. So if we do this all the time, that means this is an extreme example, but we really do this all the time, because what we do is we cognitively try to push our point. But the other person is not ready to hear it, because they're cognitively trying to push their point. So everyone's trying to push and just not going anywhere. It just becomes a pressure cooker, and then it's like one person just gives up, whatever, each one's nitiya to walk away, to fight further. Everyone has their own nitiyas to do. So that's the first response. Now, I want you to come and say it the same thing. I'm going to try and mirror it, but I want you to really notice how you're feeling. as I'm doing it? Like, what's happening? Like, when I was talking before, how you felt compared to now?
Part of the
Kedel,
always been scared to shout down. It won't come off, and she's even
requested. Yeah, it's like I come here, like, I'm here in the morning, I don't show up in the afternoon. Really, I should be getting, like, a good amount of time here to... The Olam seems to like it, and you seem like it's important to you to hear this stuff, and you're serious about it. Here's the thing. And then I would start the drasha. Problem is, my time's a little whatever, right? I didn't give in to you. I didn't say, okay, I'm coming every week. I didn't say, we didn't get there. But it comes, I'm guessing... sort of like took the ear out of the thing, because I heard you, because I saw you, because I mamish felt what you were feeling. It doesn't take a very long time. And that was a pretty regulated conversation. When we have our tantrums and we have our stuff and we have all our stuff, when we meet them and we like show them, like, what? Yes, you just want to slam the door because you're... They're like... It really hits them because you're hitting their high nervous system and showing them that you get them. And you're creating connection. Through the hardest moments, you're creating connection. And we can do this. It doesn't have to be in these intense times. When someone mirrors someone or someone shows empathy to somebody, it can be in very powerful moments also. And I find those to be even more impactful. Where you just see the person that they're doing, your child's playing, and instead of saying, you're playing so nicely, because that's a description and maybe a little bit of a judgment, a good judgment, but it's a description. Instead you say, like, oh, you're playing with magnet tiles and you're building a huge tower. I didn't say any compliment. I didn't say good thing that you're being quiet. I just literally said what was happening. That's a form of mirroring, because now the child feels seen. And the child feels like, you saw exactly what I was doing, not just I was playing nicely. Because then in a child's mind, it's almost like, okay, but I have to play nicely in order for me to get that. As opposed to just playing and I just notice, or like, you know, oh, you put on the pink shirt today, or you put on the blue shirt today. That's it. It's a very deep feeling of being seen. Everyone talks about the four S's, how you have to see a child, and this is the way to do it. Where you're not necessarily giving compliments or praising, but you're really just repeating or mirror, acting like a mirror with a mouth of what's going on. And these things are very powerful. It really hits children in a developmentally core place. And they are more regulated. They end up being more regulated. They end up being able to come from a very high place to a lower place eventually on their own, because of you being able to co-regulate them that way. Does anyone else want to try?
Demos are hard.
No, demos are hard. Shkayach for...
Actors are very... I actually want to ask you, acting is very hard for a lot of people. Let's say you're kids, let's say you have an older kid, teenagers.
Right.
And you don't like the way they're acting about, like, a certain scenario. You don't really have that. Excited response. It's better to act it.
Or,
and they're like very upset about something. And
you're like, I don't. Right. So what I would say is, it's really like a middle. It's really, if they're very, let's say they're very upset about something, right? So the reaction that you can have can be your own reaction when you're upset about something. Doesn't have, if you're not able to mirror them exactly, or maybe because they're older and it might seem funny, sometimes it seems a little weird, like you're acting, or like, so let's say they come in and they're like very animated about the fact that their friend didn't walk home with them, right? They're very animated. I need to eat. Anyways, I don't even want to bite. And so we're not going to blow up like that, because we can't even connect to that in a way, and it's going to maybe seem fake. So what I would say is, like, act in a way that if you would be upset about something, how you would be, like, almost like, right, how you would react being upset or sad, put that face on, put that reaction when you're listening to what they're saying, and that's going to do the same thing. So you don't have to meet them and like, but something that's comfortable for you to show them that you're really, just, you really get it, that it's really hard.
Internalizing that they're upset about something, and then acting how you would,
so it's almost like believing, it's the yichelis to believe that the way they see it is their reality.
So that's very hard.
It's super hard. That's the definition of empathy. The definition of empathy is believing the other person's perspective of the way they see it and not the way you think they should. That is the definition of empathy, and it's so hard to do. It's Zekla Godavotera. This is work. This is where the work is. So, you know, a lot of times you'll hear a response. Someone's going through, let's say two people are talking and someone's going through something very hard. A lot of times the responses are like, you know, like someone says they're talking about like Loyalenu, they lost a baby, like a miscarriage or something. So then a lot of times the response is like, it sounds funny to say, but there's nuances to this so many times. It's like, well, at least you have other kids. Right? Or like, the people do say these type of things, or someone's going through it, sorry, at least it's for good things. I'm so happy that you do, at least it's for good things, right? That is the opposite of empathy. What that really is like sympathy, but it's not really. It's very, the person feels so unheard, unseen, the opposite of what we're talking about, as opposed to just being like, whoa, oh my gosh. Asking questions, paraphrasing what they're saying. All these type of things make the person, when someone's sharing something with you, they're not just sharing it, they're sharing it so that you can hold it. That's why they're sharing it. So if you're not going to do that, it's not going to feel right for them. And so, everyone does it in their own way, and everyone has to do it in their own way. But, and it's not even like steps to do, but there's definitely the idea of listening, the idea of repeating back what they're saying and the way they're saying it, or in a way that they would feel like you get them, and then you've just done it, and then you can say what you want to say, and then you can have.
When you start looking for reaction, something that has happened to them, which is inappropriate. The 15-year-old builds a magnetile tower that's taller than me, and I say, "Hey, look, Dad, look, I've just built it. It's taller than me." 5-year-old, isn't it? 15-year-olds
help
the 5-year-old build a pipe. Yeah. They shouldn't
limit
themselves.
Okay. Or,
you know what I did today to
the rabbi
in school? I squirted him, and I threw
his airplane at him.
You don't want to condone it.
Absolutely, you don't want to condone it. That's tricky. When they come to you and they say that,
whatever reason they're coming for,
I would, mamash, just, you will get the reason from them if you repeat back what they're saying. And you make it that tati chat what you did. I'm not judging what you did. The judgment could come later, the muster could come later, everything could come later. He's not running away. It's taking that mamish critical 30 seconds, and it feels funny to do. But it's leaning into the swerve that I was talking about last time, is that it says, hey, you know, I did a spitball, and I was kicked out of class. He says, so like, today you went to cheder, and you threw a spitball, scream at the Rebbe, and then you were kicked out. And he's gonna go, yeah, should I tell you why? Then you got it. Because he realizes you're a cleat to hear him and be makabel him. As opposed to, what? Are you serious? Why do you do that? Right? We do that all the time because it's our own stuff. We can do that after. Or they're gonna initiate it probably once they feel safe enough. Once they feel like, I can hold it, I'm not gonna dysregulate, go crazy on you. They're coming to you, like you said, for a reason. They really wanna tell it to you. They're not coming necessarily for a reaction, usually, but they're really deep down wanting you to know is why I did it. What's going on for them, is what I would say. You're saying gay shalatin, but. What? So a 50-year-old, so you could say, wow, you built a tower that's even bigger than you. And then you might say something. wait for the next. Like, trust them. He's 15 years old. You can trust them. And again, even if it's not a one-time fix, this is developmental. Like, all these things are, like, very strong in a child's system to slowly develop. And even a 15-year-old, you know, this is when couples come and you try and teach them interactions. These are very healing interactions because the wife grew up with nothing and the husband grew up with a crazy whatever. And they're not used to comfortable, safe reactions. And so this type of thing is very healing. So if you could do it for adults, for sure, for children, 15-year-olds, as they're developing, very powerful.
What about when somebody's talking about, like, something that the person that's listening has no shyness to understand? Does that empathy come across as feeling, like, totally fake? Like, the person talking is like, there's no way you could possibly understand such a thing.
So I would say something, so it's true. When you mirror somebody just by the way they're talking, you can, even if it's like, it's really nervous systems connecting. So like if you're saying something, oh, I whatever, and you have, the guy has no ability to hop really what happened, but he's showing you that he hops something up. Something's up. He doesn't hop the extent of it, how crazy it is, but he can hop that something's up. It's not like...
He could even show
that, like, I don't hop you exactly, but like, whoa.
If he shows, right, that he doesn't have the ability to chop, and he's already showing him that he's understanding.
You could do that, but usually they chop that. You chop that it's not pasha.
If you know that yourself, you can't understand.
That's why you're not supposed to talk. But that's really the reason. This is exactly, people by being Menachem Mavel naturally do this. They naturally sit like this. They naturally show the person that they naturally want to hear the person and not talk. But when you're out of a Shiva Om, it doesn't come as natural. But that's exactly what really it is. That you're shared. That's when you take a little bit of their pain because you're holding their pain with you. Like he says, yeah, you cannot chop them. You at least have that this is a painful matzah, you know?
I was sitting chill for a kid, a sick kid. And someone came in, and he said, same story, I'm very sensitive for kids. And I was very sensitive. Nothing would have come out of him anyway.
He was a therapist.
That can go up on the list, for sure. So again, like, that's the opposite of empathy.
It doesn't say what he was trying to make. The first hour that he was there. For the first hour he was there, and he heard him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
Okay. Shkaya.
Next week, same time.
What? I'm not going to be here, but.
I feel like you're